Good morning and happy Friday. I'm Cheryl Walker with the News Gazette. Today is Friday, April 4th, 2025, and we will begin today's reading with the headline story, The First Look Experience CU Awards. High five, they've got spirit. Introducing the 2025 recipients of Experience Champaign-Urbana's Brilliant Spirit Awards, formerly Tourism Impact Awards, will be saluted during the annual Toast to Tourism celebration set for May 7th at the Hilton Garden Inn. Jane Seeley, Christie Clinic Illinois Marathon. The do-it-all director, promoter, problem solver, route planner, volunteer recruiter, and face behind what her nominator called one of the most anticipated weekends in Champaign County's annual calendar race weekend schedule. This year, for April 24th through the 26th, the year-round effort can be like planning a Super Bowl, Seeley says. Irene Masato Hernandez, La Puma Food Truck. Take it from her employees who nominated the mother of three as a group. Hernandez is very passionate at what she does, the food truck, and takes care of customers with great and positive energy. Her seven-year Champaign-based business serves homestyle Mexican food and caters events around the area from Mahomet to Monticello. Laura Rainey Comfort Suites. The Urbana Hotel sales manager's star shines bright in March. When the IHSA boys basketball finals rolls into town, her nominator wrote, Rainey put the needs of the guests ahead of the policies of the hotel. When a school making its first trip to the state last month discovered upon arrival that the IHSA doesn't cover teams' hotel bills. John Stevens, Little Theater on the Square. He's the executive producer of the 68-year-old Moultrie County Cultural Cornerstone, which has brought Broadway-quality performances to our community, enriching lives through the arts. Steve's nominator wrote, among the A-listers who've graced the Sullivan stage over the years, Alan Alda, Ruth Warwick, and Mickey Rooney. Ruthie Harper, Iron Grove Cafe. She's the vibrant personality greeting passengers at the Willard Airport's new on-site cafe, added Harper's nominator, Airport Executive Director Tim Bannon. Her commitment to service is contagious and impacts staff around her. Elevating the standards of the airport, she's sure to put a smile on your face after each interaction. All jazzed up. Champaign Central Director John Curry leads practice for the Lab Band, the youngest of the high school's three jazz bands, on Thursday. The Maroons were prepping for the weekend's 56th annual jazz festival at Central, which will feature middle and high schools from Champaign, Mahomet, Paxton, Brantoul, and Urbana, performing from 5 to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday, as well as clinic put on by Eastern Illinois trombone professor Ben Calasilo. Champaign Courts. Champaign volunteer pleads guilty to sharing child pornography. By Luke Taylor, iTaylor at newsgazette.com. A Champaign man known for his volunteerism and DJ performances has pleaded guilty to selling child pornography. As a result, eight other charges of pornography charges against Dante J. Scott, 29, were dismissed. Additionally, his sentence will be capped at 20 years in prison rather than the standard maximum of 30 years. Prior to his arrest in September, Scott was the entertainment manager of the Beat program promoting downtown Champaign and associate at the Champaign Public Library. He also performed locally as DJ Slim, a name that appeared in username of some of the Facebook, Instagram, and Dropbox accounts he used to distribute child pornography, said state's attorney Julia Reitz. The charges against Scott stem from a report from a national center for missing and exploiting children to the Illinois State Police. The agency reported it had received 15 different tips from digital media companies flagging accounts connected to Scott's name and phone number, indicating he was possibly producing child pornography of a 10-year-old girl. The volume of those tips and the likelihood of a danger to an actual child made it a high priority alert to state police. Investigators found that Scott was disseminating images of the child through 11 different Facebook and Instagram accounts. Some of the usernames of those accounts included the acronym PYT, which Reitz said translates to Pretty Young Thing, a term used in the child pornography community. She says Scott identified himself as the stepfather of the child in chats with other users that also included discussions of sexual abuse and the exchange of files and links to child pornography. Reed said that Scott would ask recipients to send back photos of themselves engaged in lewd acts with the images of the girl he identified as his stepchild. He also identified her by her real first name. Officers searched local school records, located the child in question, and contacted her mother. Reed said the mother had to look at some of the images Scott created in order to identify her daughter. In an interview with police, the mother said she had been in a relationship with and lived with Scott for around 3 years, and the child would have been between the ages of 4 and 6 in the photos. Police executed a search warrant on Scott's home and arrested him on September the 9th. Investigators also learned that Scott was using one of the accounts connected to his DJ business to communicate with an 11-year-old girl, offering to pay her to produce inappropriate videos of herself. The girl was interviewed at the Children's Advocacy Center, where she said she met Scott through a middle school classmate and had exchanged texts, and photos with him. In messages Reese read in court in September, the girl repeatedly denied Scott's request to send photos of herself. Scott is scheduled to appear for sentencing hearing in May. He has been held in custody since his arrest. Area history. In 1925, for the first time in 31 years, the state scholastic track meet will not be held on the historic Old Illinois Field when athletes from more than 105 Illinois high schools gather here May 15th and 16th. The scene this year will be the Mammoth Illinois Memorial Stadium, and in the changes is considered wise, for not only will there be unlimited seating capacity and better accommodations for spectators and athletes, but the track layout and the stadium includes two 220-yard straightaways through the north gates. In 1975, Clyde H. Martin, a member of the Urbana Fire Department, has been named by Mayor Hiram Paley to serve as acting fire chief upon retirement of Fire Chief C. Earl Pierce, effective May 31st. It will be a couple of months until the city hires a permanent fire chief, according to Rachel Frank, city administrative officer. In 2010, for nearly all of its 59-year history, Champaign-Urbana's Independence Day Parade has marched from Urbana to Champaign. This year, parade organizers want to reverse course and march as they did for the first parade in 1950 from Champaign to Urbana. International History Today highlights on April 4th, 1968, civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., 39, was shot and killed while standing on a balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. King's death triggered a wave of unrest in cities across the United States that killed 43 people and injured more than 3,000. On this date in 1841, President William Henry Harrison succumbed to pneumonia 1 month after his inauguration, becoming the first U.S. chief executive to die in office. Harris's vice president, John Tyler, was sworn in as president 2 days later. In 1949, 12 nations, including the United States, signed the North Atlantic Treaty in Washington, D.C., establishing NATO. In 1973, the Twin Towers of New York World Trade Center were officially dedicated. In 1975, Bill Gates and Paul Allen founded Microsoft in Albuquerque, New Mexico. In 1991, Senator John Hines, Republican of Pennsylvania, and 6 other people, including 2 children, were killed when a helicopter collided with Hines' plane over a schoolyard in Marin, Pennsylvania. In 2012, a federal judge sentenced 5 former New Orleans police officers to prison for the deadly DeSinger Bridge shooting in the chaotic days following Hurricane Katrina. Daybook Top of the Morning, something to get you going today, courtesy staff writer Luke Taylor. Bellying Up on Fridays will spotlight the men and women serving up cold ones and conversation in our neck of the woods. Let us know about your favorite bartender by emailing itaylor@newsgazette.com. If you're looking for a relaxing spot to grab lunch and a drink, bartender Wilma Bennett says the Rankin Rangers Pub should be on your list. She should know, Bennett has been serving up drinks for over 35 years, the last 10 of which I've been at the pub. But look out, I'm kind of a jokester sometimes, Bennett says. She recalls an event at a previous job when a customer had to complete a task assigned by her to earn a t-shirt. Bennett had folks dancing, cartwheeling, and even made one scoot across the floor on his butt like a dog. That's not every day at the Rankin Rangers Pub, though. Bennett works during the day when she said everyone just comes to eat and have good food, watch sports, and talk. I like to meet people and I talk to them and make them laugh and walk away and just be happy and feel good, she said. If she isn't at the bar, Bennett is probably on the move. She used to play beach volleyball and run 5Ks before a foot injury that slowed her down but didn't stop her. Now she walks the 5Ks with her friends. Bennett says that even if you aren't a ranking local to come by the quaint little pub, she'd love to talk to you. The picture was provided of Wilma Bennett at a bartender at Rankin Rangers Pub. Almanac. There are 271 days left in the year. Notable birthdays is recording executive Clive Davis is 93. Golf Hall of Famer Joanne Carner is 86. Actor Craig T. Nelson is 81. Actor Christian Lahiti is 75. Football Hall of Famer John Hannah, 74. TV writer producer David E. Kelly is 69. Actor Hugo Weaving is 64. TV host Graham Norton is 62. Actor David Cross is 61. Actor Robert Downey Jr. is 60. Singer Jill Scott is 53. Musician David Blaine is 52. Baseball Hall of Famer Scott Rowland is 50. Hockey Hall of Famer Roberto Luigo is 46. Lotteries. Thursday, Illinois Lottery, pick 3 midday, 327. Pick 3 evening, 512. Pick 4 midday, 6807. Pick 4 evening, 9251. Lucky Day Lotto, midday, 2, 21, 22, 32, 43. Lucky Day Lotto evening, 2, 15, 30, 34, 41. Lotto, 2, 4, 11, 15, 26, 37. Thursday, Hoosier Lottery. Daily 3, midday, 6, 9, 0. Daily 4, midday, 1, 8, 1, 3. Today's Mega Millions estimated lotto jackpot is $1.4 million. Today's Mega Millions estimated jackpot is $43 million. Saturday's Powerball estimated jackpot is $47 million. Need the numbers we didn't have by press time? Contact Illinois Lottery information at 1-800-252-1775. That's illinoislottery.com. Hoosiery Lottery information 800-95-lotto. Hoosierylottery.com. Trump nominee, nation and world. Emails expose apparent Social Security sabotage. This story is written by Joseph Wilkinson, New York Daily News, TNS. President Donald Trump's administration intentionally made a mess of Social Security operation in Maine as part of an unrelated feud with the state governor. According to emails released Wednesday, Trump's pick to lead the Social Security Administration, Leland Duckett, briefly canceled longstanding contracts in the state in March. The contracts allow parents to obtain Social Security numbers for children at birth and verify deaths through an electronic system. Afterward, Duckett claimed the cancellation was simply a mistake and that he was not interested in political retaliation. But internal emails tell a different story. Duckett emailed his staff on February 27th regarding any Social Security contracts with Maine. He was told later that day that terminating the contracts would result in improper payments and potential for identity theft, according to emails obtained by Representative Gerald Connolly, Democrat of Virginia. Please cancel the contracts while our improper payments will go up and fraudsters may compromise identities. No money will go from the public trust to a petulant child, Duckett responded, referring to Maine Governor Janet Mills. Days earlier, Mills had publicly clashed with Trump over rights for transgender women and girls. Trump threatened to pull federal funding from the state and a legal battle is ongoing. Both programs that Duckett stopped have been used daily throughout the country for decades, and he has quickly reversed the decision after public outcry and pressure from lawmakers. Global trade. Sweeping tariffs shock economics rule markets. Many countries waive retaliation versus negotiation. Frankfurt, Germany. President Donald Trump's sweeping tariffs on American imports shocked governments and investors around the world, swiftly spurring threats of retaliation and calls for negotiation and industry scramble and global stocks tumbled. China accused the U.S. of bullying and the European Union promised robust countermeasures, with French officials suggesting taxes hit U.S. tech giants. Yet the United Kingdom and Japan, among others, expressed hope for a deal with Trump and refrained from talk of retaliation against the world's biggest economy, fearing that slapping their own tariffs on American goods would only make things worse. Trump imposed a 34% levy on goods from China on top of an earlier 20% tariff, as well as 20% tariff on the EU, 24% on Japan, 25% on South Korea. Trump has described the import taxes ranging from 10 to 9 to 49% as a way to reverse unfair treatment by American trading partners, draw factories and jobs back home. Setting off for Florida from the White House on Thursday, he struck an optimistic note. "I think it's going very well," he said. "The markets are going to boom, the stock is going to boom, and the country is going to boom." Which handles trade ensues for the 27 EU member countries was always talk. Analysts say there's little to gain from an all-out trade war, since higher tariffs can restrain growth and rise inflation. Europe will have to respond, but the paradox is that the EU would be better off doing nothing, said Matteo Valia, a senior analyst at Italy's Institute for International Political Studies. Trump seems to be understand only the language of force, and that this indicates the need for a strong and immediate response, Villa said. The hope in Brussels is that the response will be strong enough to induce Trump to negotiate and soon be back and backtrack. Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni told Italian state TV on Thursday that she hoped for exactly that. "We need to open an honest discussion on the matter with the Americans, with the goal of, at least from my point of view, of removing tariffs, not multiplying them," Meloni said. Europe's strategy so far has been to limit retaliation to a few politically sensitive goods like whiskey and Harley-Davidson motorcycles in an attempt to push the U.S. to the negotiation table. Economists say that Europe would broaden the trade war to the vast services sector by targeting big tech at a category more vulnerable to retaliation, because the U.S. exports more than it imports. The EU response could include a tax on U.S. digital giants such as Google, Apple, Meta, Amazon, Microsoft, as French officials have recommended. Outgoing German Chancellor Olaf Scholz said the EU must show that we have strong muscles, but he expressed no appetite for sparking an all-out trade war that could hobble the bloc's export-dependent economy. The Mondeville service station, owned and operated by Craig Bott and opened in 1969 at his location in Mondeville, Missouri, was destroyed by a tornado on Wednesday. This picture was provided by Tammy Lingball, TNS. Severe weather. At least six dead in a catastrophic storm. Lake City, Arkansas, standing alongside the twisted steel tractors on his family's farm in northeast Arkansas on Thursday, Danny Qualls looked on while friends and relatives helped him begin cleaning up. The home where he spent his childhood but no longer lives was flattened by one of many tornadoes that left behind destruction from Oklahoma to Indiana. The first in a round of storms expected to bring historic rains and life-threatening flash floods across the nation's midsection in the coming days. "My husband has been extremely cheerful and emotional, but he also knows that we have to do the work," Rhonda Qualls said. "He was in shock last night, crying himself to sleep. At least seven people were killed in Tennessee, Missouri, and Indiana in the initial wave on Wednesday and early Thursday that spawned powerful tornadoes, one of which launched light debris nearly 5 miles into the air above Arkansas." Tennessee Governor Bill Lee said it was too early to know whether there were more deaths as searches persisted. "The devastation is enormous. What's most difficult about it is, you know that those are lives destroyed," Lee said, "in the hard-hit town of Selmer. In some cases, true life lost, but in other cases, everything people owned up in trees." Lee said during an evening news conference that entire neighborhoods in Selmer were completely wiped out, and warned people across the state not to let their guard down, where more severe weather predicted. Those who died, including a Tennessee man and his teen daughter, whose home was destroyed, and a man whose pickup truck downpoured lines in Indiana. In Missouri, a 68-year-old Gary Moore, chief of Whitewater Fire Protection District, died while likely trying to help a stranded motorist, according to Highway Patrol spokesperson Sergeant Clark Parrott. Forecasters warned Thursday of catastrophic weather soon ahead. Satellite imagery showed thunderstorms lining up like freight trains, taking the same tracks over communities in Arkansas, Tennessee, and Kentucky, according to the National Weather Prediction Center in Maryland. A rural Lodal hog farm sustained an estimated $3 million in damages from what was believed to be a tornado on Wednesday. Lodal Farms estimate $3 million in storm damage. About 50 injured hogs had to be euthanized. This story was written by D. Hinton at NewsGazette.com. Rural Lodal. An estimated 50 hogs at a rural Lodal hog farm will have to be euthanized after being injured when what is to be believed to have been a tornado destroyed two large buildings on Wednesday. Pioneer Pork co-owner Dan Coulter said 26 of the pigs could not be saved due to their injuries in the one building, and about many more will likely have to be euthanized in another building that has yet to be cleared. The storm hit at 5 p.m., he said, and lasted only about 5 seconds. Coulter said an estimated 40 people came out of the hog farm after the storm. Word got out, he said, when a co-worker called someone to get a truck from an area trucking company and that the person then called other people. I didn't know a lot of them, Coulter said, of the volunteers. Helpers were on site until about 3 a.m. We got all the pigs out of the South Building last night. We still have about 1,100 of them to go. There were about 4,000 of them to start with. I appreciate all the help, he said. 14 people were on the scene there Thursday helping with the cleanup. It destroyed one building, Coulter said. The north one, half the roof has gone and the ceiling is down. We're loading pigs on our hands and knees. It's the first tornado I've ever been through. It makes you want to retire, Coulter estimated the damage at $3 million. He said that the hogs that were saved will be taken to various facilities ranging from farms near Gibson City to rural Armstrong to Myrna, and added 1,100 of them don't have a home yet. Coulter said the storm left a debris field about 2.5 miles long. A neighbor's property across the rural section was also heavily damaged. Coulter said a tool shed was taken off the property. A barn was rolled over and one of the boards from Coulter's property went through an upstairs window of the neighbor's house. Maverick Pipe, Rantoo manufacturer adding workspace employees. The story is written by Dave Hinton at Dave Hinton News Gazette. Rantoo, the CEO of the New Hampshire-based pipe manufacturer, said the nearly 100,000 square feet afforded it to buy a former Air Force hangar in Rantoul is not large enough, so it will expand. Dave Jones said Maverick Pipe plans to add more lines, more employees, and more space at the former Chanute Air Force Base Hangar 2. We're adding distribution center to handle all the product we're manufacturing, Jones said. We're in the process of adding additional product lines we will need for shipping product. The plant operates with two lines and two more will be added. There is also an option to add a fifth line. Jones said the plant, which employs 17, will add 4 to 6 more. We're in the process of getting all the new lines up and running, he said. Maverick Pipe got control of the building in March of 2022, buying it from the village of Rantoul for $225,000. Jones said that after the plant began operation, the company ordered equipment to add the additional lines, which generally takes 18 months to 2 years to arrive. He said the Rantoul operation is doing well. There's also challenges. When you're starting up a new operation, he said, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. With the new distribution center, Jones said the company wants to create a more efficient operation. We will have a drive-through truck lane for loading, he said. As our capacity and volume increases, every truck that goes out has to be equal to one truck going in. Additional storage space also will be built. Rantoul Urbana Planning Manager Chris Milliken said the new distribution center will encompass about 65,000 square feet and will be located east of the existing building. It will be an all-metal building, like an open span warehouse, he said. Rosters Construction will serve as the main contractor, Milliken said. Some site prep has begun. They want to basically be done with it by July, Milliken said. The hangar's exterior went through an extensive remodeling, including new windows, siding, signs, and entryway on the northwest side of the building. All four hangars on the former base are occupied. Hangar 1 is the home to flyover studies, a hub for film, television, commercial, and live production. Hangar 3 houses B-52 Hangar MX, a motocross facility, and Hangar 4 is the site of the Air Ag Imaging, which houses airplanes that take photos of farms and field house layouts. Editorial. Voters sent a variety of messages, including their disinterest. It looks like no one really does mean no. It looks like no really does mean no. Another election has come and gone, although judging by the paltry turnout, relatively few registered voters either knew or cared about it. Some pride was expressed in the fact that 2,000 more voters turned out for Tuesday's election than 4 years ago. That surge pushed the turnout to around 15%, a totally unimpressive number, but par for the course in Illinois' foolish spring elections. Whatever the turnout level, however, City of Champaign Township voters have demonstrated they're not interested in approving a significant property tax increase. Just as they did in November, general election voters rejected a proposed 428% property tax hike from 0.0417 to 0.2203 cents per $100 of assessed valuation intended, among other things, fund the Stride shelter beyond October. The vote was 4,381 to 3,006. That raises two questions. How long will it be before we re-elect Township Supervisor Kyle Peterson and trustee to decide to ask voters for a third time to raise a property tax to support a shelter? Excuse me. What will the township do about the shelter? Close it down because it can't afford it, or try to drum up the money elsewhere? There's a lesson here for all public officials. Never fund a planned permanent service like the shelter with one-time grant money. It's the height of fiscal idiocy. Why? The answer should be obvious, but obviously not. Without a guaranteed source of permanent funding, failure is almost inevitable. Voters' rejection is more proof of how fed up they are with the government at all levels, nickel and diming them to financial distress and personal frustration. That's why when people have the opportunity to say no to higher taxes, they usually do. The other significant election Tuesday involved the Champaign School Board. The 7-member body that will soon have 5 new members will also soon have a controversial decision to make. What to do about the employee status of the beleaguered Superintendent Sheila Boozer. Members of the current board have been at words point in recent months, their back and forth exchange of vilatronic rhetoric on display for all to see. They have provided a textbook example for the newbies on how to disagree while being disagreeable. The public can do without a continuation of these kind of displays, which can only undermine public confidence in a school system whose poor performance already has alienated many who would like to support public education. Beyond that, the elections were more about symbolism than substance. Urbana and Tolono elected their first black mayors. Democrats displayed their iron grip on Champaign County politics by taking over Champaign Township. Overall, however, the consolidated elections of 2025 were another disappointment. Too few candidates running in competitive races and too little interest among voters in the contests that were actually contested. We will take a short pause now, and I'll return with the second half hour of the News Gazette. This has been Cheryl Walker with the News Gazette, Friday, April 4th. Have a happy Friday. Be safe.